Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All I know is nothing ever goes according to script in the NFL. Nothing. Now, there are some things that you can count on pretty well, like Tom Brady on a late scoring drive for the New England Patriots, especially at home. You can also count on the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde Jacksonville Jaguars to show up now and then. You can count on the Cleveland Browns still learning how to win. That's not a slight or a knock. It's just reality. You can count on quarterbacks getting hurt. We're now up to 10 teams that have used multiple quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude, and we're not even through week number 6 yet. Man alive. The action fast and furious on a Sunday, but good stuff, especially on Sunday night, especially if you like offense. Oh, yeah. Raise your hand if you were captivated by the Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots. Riveted because you love offense. This game was for you. Again, hashtag 40 is the new 30. And I don't mean age. I mean points. If you get to 40, well, then you're putting on a show. And as it turned out on Sunday night, both of the teams in primetime put up 40 points. What did I tell you? No, I'm 40. What did I tell you a few weeks ago, that games with 1,000 total yards and 60 plus points would soon be routine? Quarterbacks throwing for 4 touchdowns in a game would soon be routine, and not all that eyebrow raising worthy anymore. Not all that jaw dropping worthy anymore. Well, we're getting to that, especially on prime time. Have you noticed how good the national broadcasts are? Thursday nights, Sunday nights, Monday nights, they've been really good this year. You have nothing to complain about. And certainly the ratings reflect that. The ratings are ticking up in the NFL. So as much as people complain about the calls, complain about the politics, complain about this, complain about that, what's happening is that the football itself, the big names, the young quarterbacks, the high-flying offenses, the good games on national TV, those are sucking people back in. So don't worry about the NFL. I know you're not. 83 points, 946 total yards. The Patriots had 31 first downs themselves. And even if you only showed up for the fourth quarter, you still got one heck of a show. Of course, Sunday Night Football is where we begin when it's this good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you had a good weekend. I think there must be some type of law against having your air conditioning on and then turning your heat on in the same week. This is my dilemma. I had my air conditioning on last Wednesday because of all the humidity. It was still so soupy in my neighborhood. But the last 2 nights, the temperatures have dropped down to the low 40s. And so now inside my house, it's barely 60. I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like I can succumb and turn on the heat yet. Not when I just had my air conditioning on. I feel as though this is a problem that's shared by other people too. Some of you like to hold out until Halloween before you turn your heat on. I don't think I'll make it that long. I just feel like it's against my religion to have the air conditioning and the heat on in the same time. But that's fall. And fall means good football. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you're wondering my thoughts on the NFL on Sunday, well, I was tweeting about it most of the day. And no, I don't tweet about every little thing that happens, but I do drop in little nuggets, little observations here and there. Very often when I tweet, it helps me to remember something later on when I'm taking my notes or when I'm sitting here in studio and trying to regurgitate everything that I have seen. My hand hurts from taking so many notes. It was that kind of a Sunday. And it'll stay as compelling now that we're into our second month of the season and we're seeing more patterns, and yet not enough to get uber comfortable, not even with the really good teams. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we'll have a question of the night coming up very soon. And our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I often say this on the show. In fact, I feel as though we have an open that catches this pretty concisely, that the NFL can frequently change from half to half. You think you know what's happening in the first half, and then they come out of the locker room, and whether it's because of adjustments, whether it's just human nature, whatever it is, the game completely changes in the second half. And that was kind of what we had on Sunday Night Football. It may be hard to remember now, but the Pats were up 24-9 at the half. It looked like the Chiefs might be able to cut into that lead just before they hit the break, but
pressure comes from Hightower. Mahomes gets away, floats it to the end zone. Deflected and intercepted. Picked off by Harmon in the end zone. He'll take a knee, and that ends the Chiefs' threat. Mahomes had it deflected as he looked for Kelce. It caromed twice and into the arms of Daron Harmon, and the Patriots take over with 4 seconds remaining in the first half.
So Daron Harmon kind of spoils the party, but it was a ball that bounced around and touched a couple different guys, almost like that last play of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-Atlanta Falcons game on Sunday afternoon. Everybody gets to touch the football. So it was the second interception by Patrick Mahomes in the first half, and that one was pretty damaging. But they'd been settling for field goals. Instead of touchdowns, they'd been settling for kicks. And they were down 24-9. At the half. But then coming out of the halftime locker room, it looked like Pat Mahomes settled in. Could you tell at the beginning of the game he was overthrowing guys big time, which is a sign of being jacked up, being super nervous, a little bit anxious, full of adrenaline. We see it with starting pitchers all the time in the postseason. They're overthrowing. They're putting so much into it instead of just relying on what they know. Well, you could see that with Pat Mahomes. And it's understandable. One of the biggest games early on in his young career. I don't know if the primetime has anything to do with it. Have you noticed the Chiefs every weekend now are playing a primetime national broadcast? Can you tell the NFL wants to spotlight Patrick Mahomes? Anyway, he seemed to settle in. And he makes up for it 90 seconds into the second half. He's scrambling to the right. Again, man loves to scramble. And boy, does he throw a pretty ball across his body. Or almost away from his motion. I feel like it's against the shift. It's like going oppo. Oppo in Major League Baseball. That's what we get from Pat Mahomes. So he finds Kareem Hunt deep for his first touchdown. And then, my gosh, the track meet is on. I saw some other NFL defensive players tweeting about the number of points in the fourth quarter. Like Will Allen, for instance, Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a guy who he and I followed each other a bunch of years ago when I had him in studio at my previous network doing a interview. And we really enjoyed, we kind of hit it off, and we really enjoyed talking football at the time. And so he tweets a lot more about his foundation than he does about football. But every now and then he will tweet about football. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see other NFL players. J.J. Watt was weighing in during this particular game about how crazy it was in that fourth quarter. And so I don't know what this game says about the defenses of New England and Kansas City, but it certainly does say a lot about the pressure and how they respond, which we know the Patriots always do. We know Tom Brady does. We know that Julian Edelman can, and Rob Gronkowski, and Chris Hogan has changed in that same vein. And now you got Josh Gordon, who's also a guy who stepped up, and the rookie, Sony Michel, who's learning and getting better and better. But it was pretty impressive to see Mahomes as well. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, it was the Broncos who had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, and Mahomes was able to bring his team back, and they were able to win that game while the defense was holding the Broncos at bay. And so he's going to get more and more comfortable in his skin, going to get more and more comfortable in these situations where there has to be a score, where you have to answer in order to kind of hold off that hard-charging opponent or forestall their momentum at least.
Mahomes magic.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There was plenty of Mahomes magic for sure. CBS Sports Radio. So it's kind of fun just to see this ball, the football pinball back and forth between the Chiefs and the Patriots. And do you know in the second half, there was a punt. That's it. Everything else, every other possession for both teams was nothing more than touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown.
Chiefs down 24-9 on 3rd-and-3. Mahomes trying to go to a secondary receiver. Now flush from the pocket up the field. Catch made Kareem Hunt, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Kareem Hunt, touchdown, Kansas City. Shades of a year ago, 67-yard touchdown. Play action fake, outside rush. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing deep. He's got Tyreek Hill wide open at the 35 left, sprinting. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City and New England for the second straight year sees the Cheetah go for 75 yards on a catch. This time from Patrick Mahomes.
Brady out of the shotgun on 3rd and goal at the 4. Pumps, pressure comes. Brady in trouble, gets away. A flag down in the end zone. Brady will run and dives into the end zone for the touchdown. Tom Brady breaking tackles and diving head first for 6 to give the Patriots a 36-33 lead.
I don't know if he was saying that, but I do know that this was one heck of an adrenaline rush on a Sunday night. And you get a taste of it there with Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network and then also Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. And what you don't hear from Kevin on that Tom Brady rushing touchdown, it was a scramble. He had nobody open. And all of a sudden, the middle is just an avenue for him to get into the end zone. What you don't hear is that Breland Speaks, who probably is going to kick himself for this moment, has Brady in the grasp, literally has two arms around the quarterback, but thought that Brady threw the ball, didn't want to tackle him after the fact because he was worried about getting a flag. So what does he do? He lets Brady go. He literally had him, and he let him go into the end zone for a touchdown. So unfortunately for him, and you could see it all over his face, they showed him over and over, the Ole Miss rookie, or rookie out of Ole Miss, it's a lesson he won't soon forget. Gotta know where that ball is. And it's hard, but it's part of being in the NFL. These guys are good, right? Tom Brady's the best in the business. And so that touchdown then puts the Pats in front, but it's still not over, for heaven's sakes. I have to sneeze. It's a really bad time to sneeze. I wasn't sneezing during the game. No one sneezing. When you leave Tom Brady 3 minutes on the clock, that's way too long. Brady knew it. He mentioned it in the post-game press conference. The Chiefs obviously understand what he's about, especially at home. But yeah, to give the ball back to Tom Brady, 3 minutes left, game is tied, and the big moment, other than the game-winning field goal by Steven Gostkowski, was the 500th reception of Rob Gronkowski's career. So he was a beast late in the game as well. Pretty much everybody on offense was a beast late in the game. And the 28-yarder for Gostkowski was really easy chippy shot. In fact, shorter than a point after attempt. And Patriots win. But this is a game that didn't look nearly as exciting when they went into the halftime locker room. Pretty awesome. If you like offense. If you don't, well, I don't know what to tell you. We'll let you hear from both Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady. Very complimentary of the young quarterback. In fact, he raced across the field to find him once the game was done and to speak to him. Bill Belichick, like you've never heard him before, or very rarely. And I'd love to hear from you. What did you think of Sunday Night Football? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our first show of the work week, because it's a Sunday fun day and sports never stop. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Kick on the way from Gostkowski, up and good, and from 28 yards away, Steven Gostkowski wins the shootout for the New England Patriots. The final score, New England 43, Kansas City 40. A classic in Foxborough goes the way of the home team.
Well, we talk about it every week. Again, each situation is a little bit different based on time, timeouts, and score, and so forth. So this one ended up playing out good for us. We had the final possession. We had the final opportunity, and we made it. So great. You know, Josh called a great game. We had great execution on that drive.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Of course they're comfortable on final drives like that. It's like putting on an old pair of shoes that fit your feet perfectly, or a pair of slippers. It's about to be that time of the year in a lot of places where you need your comfy slippers. And Tom Brady knew it too. Did you hear what he said after the game? He knew that there was enough time left on the clock. He knew that this played perfectly into the hands of the Pats.
You know, we had confidence. I think, you know, I'm glad when he was running, Tyreek was running to score. I said, good, you know, score quick. Because then we had, you know, enough time. They had one timeout left and gave us a little time to go down and kick the field goals.
A little bit of time, as in a second left on the clock. Good for the Patriots and good for the Chiefs. The fact is the Patriots got the win, and right now they look like a team, as usual, second month of the season, that settled into a nice groove. Let's be honest, it has a lot to do with Brady now having receivers that he's comfortable with, a healthy Gronk, a Josh Gordon that he's worked with a lot in practice to be prepared for now being on the field. And you can tell he trusts him because of how many times he goes to him in big situations. Chris Hogan, when he needs something. Julian Edelman, who's his security blanket. They're like an old married couple. Sony Michel is coming along and has another 100-yard rushing game along with two touchdowns. Still has James White, a guy that has been in the system now and can do a lot of things. He's versatile. So all of a sudden the Patriots go from looking like an offense which doesn't have any targets around Tom Brady that he can rely on to boom, an offense that can score 43 points up and down the field, up and down the field, up and down the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Kansas City Chiefs have lost a game for the first time all year. They're now at 5-1, which means there is just one team that is undefeated in the NFL. That's the Los Angeles Rams. A career day for Todd Gurley. We'll get to them, as well as so many of the other NFL storylines.
Go Rams.
But what did you see on Sunday Night Football, or really anywhere else around the NFL? Pretty good night to be a New England sports fan with not only the Patriots winning, but the fact that Game 2 of the ALCS was a victory for the Red Sox, and it was over by the time this fourth quarter got really crazy. I feel like Major League Baseball accommodated football fans, especially those who were torn, who wanted to watch both. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Bill Belichick seemed like he was in a really good mood. And why not? This was the best gauge to date. And if you think about the last time that the Pats played a stiff AFC contender, at least at the time, I don't know if we can consider the Jaguars that anymore, but you remember what happened with the Jaguars defense against that Patriots offense, how hapless it looked just, what, three weeks ago, right? And now here they are. They look much more comfortable, a rhythm and a groove. And so, yes, Belichick is definitely in a good mood.
They're tough to handle. In the end, we were able to just do a little bit more, do enough. Again, just really proud of the way we competed tonight all the way through from the opening kickoff to the final kick. It was just a great effort. We had a good week.
And so you've got Patriots moving now to 4-2 and the Chiefs, as I mentioned, at 5-1. But it wasn't all bad for Kansas City either. It's a tough loss to take, but the fact that they fought back so hard in the second half is huge for them to be able to go into halftime with just 9 points, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, including one in the end zone when they desperately needed to add some more points before the break. And then to come out in the second half, put your first touchdown on the board within 90 seconds and outscore the Pats in the second half. Now, it wasn't enough. They still lost the game. But they put 31 points on the board in the second half alone. If you think about the first half, the overthrows, the mistakes, and again, I think a lot of it was some adrenaline and some anxiety there for Pat Mahomes, maybe a little bit of nerves. Remember, they're human beings, not robots. But once he got comfortable, once he kind of shook that off, then this Kansas City team looked like the team that we've seen for the most part over the first month and a half of the regular season. So 31 points in that second half. It was really just about cleaning up the first half and the mistakes.
As a competitor, you want to win every single week, but I mean, you learn from everything in this league. You learn from every experience that you have. I mean, you're not going to win every single game. And so for us, I mean, we're going to take the things that we did in that second half to kind of get us back into it and kind of keep that stuff going as the season goes on.
Made a lot of big ones. The one at the end to Tyreek was a great throw, and he had some other great throws. So tough to slow those guys down. They've been scoring a lot of points all year. They're going to be pretty tough to stop. So glad we had our last shot and glad we took advantage of it.
Tom Brady, very complimentary of one Patrick Mahomes. So Brady at 41, Mahomes not at 41. In fact, for Mahomes, he's, what, 7 starts into his NFL career? He celebrated his birthday not that long ago, not even a month ago when he turned 23. And I love that he was asked last week about Tom Brady's legacy, and he giggled and said, oh, well, I was very young. I'm very young. I don't, you know, I only remember their last couple of Super Bowls, really.
I'm 40.
Oh, they scored 40. And so coming up, we'll head to New England. How much better did the Chiefs feel after the second half? And I know there's no such thing as moral victories, but I'm impressed with the way they rebounded. The character they showed, the way they responded to adversity, like they did in Denver a couple of weeks ago. That is all really important over the course of a season because you can draw upon those experiences, especially a young quarterback. And to go toe-to-toe with one of the best in the NFL in the Patriots, it's huge. And what about the Pats, too? 173 yards rushing. Again, I don't know what kind of statement Sunday Night Football makes about the two defenses, but I guess we'll save that topic for another game. Another game and another night. By the way, the Chiefs will be back on Sunday Night Football coming up next week because why not? Everybody wants to see the young gunslinger. Next week, it's home at Arrowhead against the Cincinnati Bengals. Sports never stops. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Sunday Night Football. And then also on our Facebook page. Big victory for the Patriots. Big response for the Chiefs.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Play action fake. Outside rush. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing deep. He's got Tyreek Hill wide open at the 35 left, sprinting. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
touchdown! Kansas City and New England for the second straight year sees the Cheetah go for 75 yards on a catch, this time from Patrick Mahomes.
The kick on the way from Gostkowski, up and good, and from 28 yards away, Stephen Gostkowski wins the shootout for the New England Patriots. The final score, New England 43, Kansas City 40. A classic in Foxborough goes the way of the home team.
It was a heck of a football game. I was proud of the way the guys battled. We can learn a lot from this game. And we kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit early, and you can't do that against a good football team. So we learn from it, and we move on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On to Cincinnati, as a matter of fact, so it doesn't get a whole lot easier for the Kansas City Chiefs. All these primetime games as well. You can tell the NFL is all about highlighting young Patrick Mahomes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Played right into Tom Brady's hands, though, with the 3 minutes left on the clock. And the team that had the ball last ended up as the winner. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, your thoughts on Sunday Night Football. And also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're pleased to welcome from New England, Blair Kirchhoff, who covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. There are a lot of crazy things that we could pull from this game, Blair. But now that the dust has settled a little bit, what surprises you the most?
First of all, that the Chiefs came back in it after, 24-9 at halftime, and Mahomes had thrown a couple of picks. Chiefs had not been in the end zone. It was a game in which I just thought, okay, Patriots are going to assert their dominance, as they often do at in Foxborough, and the Chiefs are going to lick their wounds. And next thing you know, there's a long touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt and a couple to Tyreek Hill, and the Chiefs have taken the lead. And so, look, this was going to be a game that whoever had the ball last was going to win, especially with Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's just his MO. I think it was the 43rd time he's had a fourth quarter comeback win or won a game in the fourth quarter. So he's fantastic. 200th win as a starting quarterback tonight, the most in NFL history. But I thought the Chiefs showed me a little something tonight, too, being down big and coming back to take a lead at Foxborough.
What happened in the first half that they did fall into that hole?
Well, one thing, and we all kind of thought about this in advance, that the team that was going to settle for field goals was going to be in a heap of trouble, because neither defense has played particularly well this year, and the Chiefs have been just abysmal on the defensive side. So we just thought that it was going to be a game where both sides got up and down the field. The one that stuck in the end zone was going to have the edge, and Patriots did a much better job of that in the first half than the Chiefs did. Three Harrison Butker field goals was all the Chiefs got for their trips, a couple of them in the red zone even, and still couldn't get touchdowns. But again, that changed in a big way, and so did Mahomes' play. I mean, he four touchdowns in the second half, and a couple of the bombs to Hunt and to Tyreek Hill were just kind of the guy that we saw the first 3 weeks of the season for the Chiefs.
What did the rookie Breland Speaks have to say after the game about almost tackling Tom Brady before he had his 4-yard scramble into the end zone?
Yeah, it was a little odd. One thing he mentioned was he was in an awkward position, and Brady kind of shook him off, but Speaks thought he could have had the sack. He said he thought Brady had released the ball and he would get a roughing the passer penalty if he had followed through with the tackle. So he said he kind of let up a little bit. Now, there are a couple of problems with that. First of all, you never let up. I mean, even if you don't know what's going on with the ball, you still play through the play. And the other thing, there was a defensive holding penalty on a Chiefs cornerback. The flag was down in the end zone. So whatever happened, the play wasn't going to if there had been a sack there, the play wasn't going to stand. The Patriots would have had the ball first and goal at the one.
Right.
But they wouldn't have had the touchdown right then. You never know what might have happened. But the look on his face on the bench was priceless. He kind of didn't know what was going on based on that expression on his face.
Well, certainly, as Andy Reid talked about after the game, a good learning experience for young guys. That's probably a lesson that Breland won't forget.
Absolutely.
Blair Kirkhoff is with us from New England following Sunday Night Football. He covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of guys missing for the Chiefs defense because of injuries. How soon do you think they might get healthy?
Yeah, that was an issue. In fact, it was they lost a trio of starters and. Last week when they played and defeated Jacksonville at Arrowhead, two on the defensive side and then an offensive lineman. And then a third defensive guy, an outside linebacker, Tano Passanio, who had practiced this week, was ruled out today. So they were down Justin Houston, who played last week and did not play tonight. So two outside linebackers and then a safety, Eric Murray. Three defensive starters. So, I mean, the results speak for themselves. The Patriots had 500 total yards and scored 43 points. But that's kind of been the habit of the Chiefs' defense, even when they've had healthy bodies on there. It's just it hasn't, you know, statistically, it's been an abysmal defense. Now, I'd also submit that the fact that in several of the games they've gotten big leads, 21-0 over the Steelers, 35-7 over the 49ers, and you change the way you play defense when you're put in those circumstances, and there's a lot of yards given up. The Chargers had like 250 yards in the fourth quarter in the opener, so some of that was circumstantial. But for the most part, it's been an average to below average defense, and it has to get better if the Chiefs are going to kind of reach the goals that they set for themselves. And they've actually kind of exceeded their goals in some minds because Mahomes has been better than people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So Mahomes is now at 18 touchdowns with four more on Sunday night and just a few interceptions, four now, but a couple in back-to-back games. Big picture, what impresses you most about this young man, Blair?
Well, his intelligence and his poise. We all knew the arm strength. We knew the talent that he has throwing against his body. Anybody who watched Texas Tech saw him perform at a really high level in college. Even though the team didn't have much success, he was phenomenal and put up ridiculous numbers as a Red Raider. But he gets to Kansas City and he works. He spends basically a redshirt season with the Chiefs last year. So he's in the quarterback room all year with Alex Smith, with Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, the then offensive coordinator, and with Andy Reid. So he's got that kind of the brain trust to absorb. And then they put these weapons around him: Kareem Hunt in the backfield, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. They trade for or at least obtain Sammy Watkins in the offseason. They put some great pieces around him. So now you've got this guy with marvelous athletic ability, strong arm. And, you know, he's absorbing the knowledge of an offensive guru like Andy Reid and mm-hmm. working with Matt Nagy. And I just think and then you got Alex Smith to kind of teach him how to be a pro. I think the conditions were just ideal for him to succeed. And he's kind of met the challenge so far.
When you think about Andy Reid, it's a guy who's a lifer in the NFL. He's been around for a long time. He's now got a coaching tree, Nagy just being one of them. And yet he still is able to relate to young guys, still able to morph, to be flexible, to change what he does to be able to stay relevant in a game that is also constantly changing. And it's now become so much about the offense. How do you see him working with these young guys and changing what he does to fit the guys that he's got?
Well, you just said it. I think anybody who watches the NFL understands that the changes that have occurred in the game over the last few years have really favored the offense. And that plays directly into Andy Reid's strength. And he's in a position with his offensive mindedness to take advantage of this. And even tonight, they run some goofy looking plays, and it just works. It works well for him, and he's been doing it in the 6 years now that he's been in Kansas City. You know, he's had defensive tackles line up in the backfield, take handoffs, throw passes. I mean, he's done some crazy things here, but I just think that the game as it's played today suits his strengths so well. And He's got the, you know, he's got the speed and athletic ability of a Tyreek Hill. He's got the skill at tight end of a Travis Kelce, the toughness of a Kareem Hunt in the backfield. I just think he's got all the toys he needs to play with, and he's having a ball this season playing with him.
That's such a great depiction of Andy Reid, the toys, and he knows what he wants to do with them. Blair Kirkhoff, the Kansas City Star, with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, you know, often guys will say, oh, it's just another game, even if it is this kind of an atmosphere. And I know the Chiefs are playing in a bunch of these primetime games now. What is it, 3 and 4 weeks in which they're spotlighted on either Sunday or Monday night? But did you sense that they were looking at this game at the very least as a gauge against the Patriots?
I think so. I think everybody saw this game. When they saw it on the schedule, they thought this was the, you know, it could have been either the toughest challenge or it's at least part of the toughest stretch. To, you know, to have played Jacksonville last week, so you got both AFC Championship opponents in a 2-week span. Before that, they played at Denver, and although the Broncos are not having the type of year that they want, it's still a rivalry game for the big rivalry game for the Chiefs. And now next week, another Sunday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals, which have been probably a little bit better than people expect. I think they're in the most difficult stretch of their schedule. That's one thing we talked about after the game is really if after next week for the Chiefs, things get a little easier just based on one loss records of opponents. They haven't played the Raiders yet. They got two against the Raiders, return game against Denver comes to KC. There seems to be some opportunity on the schedule that wasn't necessarily there the first half of the season. So I just think this team started 5-0 last year and then lost its sixth game. But there's definitely a different feel about this Chiefs team than there was a year ago. That loss a year ago, it was to the Steelers in Kansas City, and then they proceeded to lose six or seven in that stretch. So they ended up 6-6 at one point. Nobody thinks this Chiefs team is going to struggle like that one. I think this is a 12, maybe a 13 win team for the Chiefs. And when it's all said and done, a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC playoffs.
We shall see. But through week 6, 5-1 and a great comeback on Sunday night to push the Patriots. You can follow Blair on Twitter at Blair Kirkhoff, B-L-A-I-R Kirkhoff, K-E-R-K-H-O-F-F. Now that everyone knows the spelling of your name, Blair, he covers sports and the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes after the game. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Amy. Good talking to you.
You too. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that you look back on once the season is done and you remember how entertained you were, maybe how your heart rate was elevated, how much you enjoyed watching. I mean, these are the kind of games that make people forget all of the external, all of the drama, all of the politics. These are the kind of games that the NFL loves to put on display or loves to have on a national broadcast because people get sucked in. How can you not? It was so exciting. It was bang, bang. The ball was just up and down the field, and it came down to the wire. And once again, here's Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And I'm not sure what's crazier. Did you guys notice the Pats had no penalties in this game? None. They didn't get flagged even one time. The Chiefs only got flagged 5 times, but only 5 times total for the entire game. And there was one punt, and that was in the second half by the Chiefs. Wowzers. This is the new NFL. Do you like it or do you not like it? That's what I want to know. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's good to talk to you on a Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.